Hey. Anything you'd like to say?
Not really.
No? Close your eyes. We are in the forest together. How is it here? You hear the river? Peace on earth. Your new name is Sahaju. It means the spontaneity, your natural essence, your true self, no? To be spontaneous, to live in the moment, to celebrate the now, unpolluted, no? Wherever you are, whatever you do, remember, you have that in your center, something untouched. Don't let locked up in anything, just be spontaneous. Be free.
Thank you.
Beloved, I read a little story between the god Ram and Hanuman, and it touched my heart deeply. It was a conversation between Ram and Hanuman. Ram asked Hanuman, "Who are you?" And Hanuman said, "When I don't know who I am, I serve you. When I know who I am you." Listening to these words, I realized once more how sacred this service, this seva, is. When I don't know who I am, I serve you. This service is my anchor, my harbor, where I come back no matter what. I feel many times like this, not knowing who I really am, having glimpses of the truth, somehow knowing I am not what I believe to be, experiencing silence as my true nature. Then sometimes, still identified with what I think I am, with what I feel, with what I do, not knowing, getting lost, getting found. It seems endless. Just now, writing these words, I could catch myself and perceive a very subtle trick of the mind, in a very subtle way, always postponing this ultimate realization of the truth. Like it says, in a very subtle way, later you will know. First, you still have to do this and that. You have to accomplish your duty as a daughter. You have to live your femininity, your desires. You have to work. So many things, so many different things that comes up that I get involved in. So I postpone again. The I, in all its different shapes and sides, still remains wanting to be someone, thinking it needs to be someone to manage life. But even then, even when I don't know who I am, I serve you by being close to you and your fire. Even when I don't know who I am, I can serve you. I can serve love. I can be reminded. I can come back to this sacred love. I can see your face. I can cry. I can laugh at your feet. And I get ignited again and again and again with this deep urge of the heart. I remember once I received these words, sacred words from you, by devotion towards the Guru, one attains liberation even without knowledge. For those who practice unflinching devotion to the Guru, who are steady, no other sadhana is required. Lord Shiva. One attains liberation even without knowledge, you say. When I don't know who I am, I serve you. May I always be at your service, being of any use. Endless gratitude, your Sana. This story between Hanuman and his master is something that only a disciple, a devotee, can understand. It's not for the masses. It is for the intimacy of the heart. Ram asks Hanuman, "Who are you?" And Hanuman says, "When I don't know who I am, I serve you. When I know who I am you." That's the essence of devotion. Listening to these words, I realize once more how sacred this service is. Be very happy that it touches you on the right spot. You are in a good company then. When I don't know who I am, I serve you. This service is my anchor, my harbor, where I come back to no matter what. Ordinary people devote their work, their service, their time to anything. Just look what takes your time, your life. But to be devoted to the Guru, to love, then it raises you. It will raise your energy because it's your essence. It's the longing of the heart, of the soul. If you are devoted to the company, to your dreams, to money, to fame, to image, it will all go. So that's why I said the Guru is an excuse for you to rise, to disappear. But if that longing, if that understanding is not there, it cannot happen. Because it can only happen from a deep understanding, from the heart. The mind doesn't know anything about devotion. It doesn't know anything about love, what to say about devotion, which is the flowering of love. I feel many times like this, not knowing who I really am, having glimpses of the truth, somehow knowing I'm not what I believe to be, experiencing silence as my true nature, then sometimes still identified with what I think I am, with what I feel, with what I do, not knowing, getting lost, getting found. It seems endless. It is endless. That's why everybody is lost, because they don't have an anchor in reality. And like you said, the Guru is the anchor. Just now, writing these words, I could catch myself and perceive a very subtle trick of the mind in a very subtle way, always postponing this ultimate realization of the truth. Like it says, in a very subtle way, later you will know. Yeah, the mind always wants to delay. Because here in the moment, there is no mind. It's only awareness. So you always have to think about the future or the past that keeps you away of the moment. So it's very afraid of that. Which is why people are also afraid of truth, of the Master. Because it will challenge your lies. It will challenge your sleepiness. You have to start facing yourself. First, you have to do this and that. You have to accomplish your duty as a daughter. You have to live your femininity, your desires. You have to work. Yes, all these things, you have to have a work, you have to be famous, you have to make money, you have to have family, you have to have children, you have to, all these things that will be going on for lifetimes. And that's how it always will be, if you don't step out of it. Because you are not that. All this is just bubbles on the surface of the ocean. Your essence is untouched by all this. So many different things that comes up that I get involved with, so I postpone. The I in all its different shapes and sides still remains, wanting to be someone, thinking it needs to be someone to manage life. Yeah. But it shouldn't take that much understanding, if you are really intelligent, which you are, to see how did life happen up till now. It's still something is missing. Still so many fuck-ups you have done. So many issues is coming up. You are still not satisfied. Then, why not try to be nobody? Not somebody, but nobody. Because you can never handle life. You are part of life, something much bigger. Such a big mystery that the only way is to let go into life, to become one with life, with existence. That is surrender, that is understanding. And if you are part of the whole, if you relax into your essence, what is there to become? Everything is there already. Everything is perfect. You have everything that is needed. You have life, you have consciousness. You are not hungry, you have a beautiful life. Wake up. So many people on this planet is suffering. They can only think about food, of survival, of getting clean water. This is luxury. You can think about love, you can think about God, you can think about freedom, you can meditate. That's a luxury. You don't know, that's why you miss. Wanting to be someone, thinking it needs to be someone to manage life. No, let life manage you. That is let go. That's the let go I'm talking about. Don't you think life will still move on if you just let go? Or you think you will, like, poof, evaporate? No. It will still go on. But that is the challenge. To function as part of the whole instead of you separately. Someone to manage life. That is the fear. How is that possible? That is what satsang does. It gives you a taste of how to be when you're not someone. You leave your ego, your mind, your desires, your ideas. But it's not so easy because the mind, your habits will come back. Your thoughts will come back. Your identification will come back. That's why you have to be steady. Life goes on. It's just that now you enjoy the ride. Before you try to control it, it never works. Even when I don't know who I am, I serve you. By being close to your fire, even when I don't know who I am, I can serve you. I can serve love. I can be reminded. I can come back to this sacred love. I can see your face. I can cry. I can laugh. At your feet, I get ignited again and again with this urge of the heart. That is what the disciple should do. Get ignited again and again and again. There was a great enlightened woman in the past called Sahajyo. And they say that she was getting dressed up to get married. And in India, this happens very early. Maybe only 11, 12 years old. And the family were dressing her up, and oh, it's a great thing, no, you're going to get married. They were going to take her to the neighboring village. And it was the very day where it's happening, and they all put her up in the nicest sari and flowers and a big celebration in the family. And then one mystic who was part of the family, Charandas, enlightened man, he came by, and then he just told this Sahajyo that, what are you doing? This is not the real. Cannot last. This life cannot last. What are you doing? Find that which lasts. Wake up. And she did. She dropped the whole marriage. Must be a very advanced soul, very mature being. And of course, in India in those days, it's even worse than now, it's bad now. But even for you in the West, when you step out of the family, of the tradition, it's a lot of judgments. But that judgment, that hardship will make you stronger in spirit. And she became a disciple of Charandas. And she had a very famous saying that, I can forget everything. I can forget even God, but I cannot forget my guru, my master, because he saved me. He made me free. And she's a very famous enlightened being in India. And she went on writing poetry and songs in gratitude to the Master. So everybody has these dreams, these ideas in them. And if you don't get the wake-up call, it will all go the same again. You need to see the conditioning, the habit of the mind, the dreams, dreams of someone. But you are more. And then when you are in your essence, there is no dream. Everything is like it is. Everything is perfect. There is no becoming. There is nothing to do. And then life goes on beautifully. Once you said, by devotion towards the Guru, one attains liberation even without knowledge. Yes. Liberation or enlightenment always comes unexpectedly, no matter what, because it's nothing you can do. It is a grace. So definitely happen without knowledge. But this devotion and this being around the Master, you become less and less and less you, and more presence, more and more love, more and more awareness. Till one day, the scale just tips. It's not in your hands. It's like you're peeling an onion, layer and layer and layer and layer, and then one day, there's nothing left. For those who practice unflinching devotion to the Guru, no other sadhana is required. No, this is the ultimate, and that even Lord Shiva is saying. This is what in Tibet they call Guru Yoga. It's the highest yoga. It's the most easy, but it's the most difficult for the ego. Because it cannot work if you are not total. This is for the heart, for the soul. But he says unflinching. It's not any wavering, it's the totality. And even that you cannot do, because it's the maturity of your being that brings you there, that you become so steady when you have realized that there is nothing else, this is the real thing. Everything else, I just get lost. This is what brings me back. Again and again and again. Then slowly, slowly you drop everything else and you settle in that which brings you back. One attains liberation even without knowledge, Shiva says. When I don't know who I am, I serve you. May I always be at your service, being of any use. And that is the art of the disciple, just to be a hollow bamboo for the Master, that you get out of the way, because then the Master can function through you. That is the ultimate sadhana. Who cares about meditation then? Your sadhana. But this is totally lost in the world, especially in the Western world. They don't know about love and what to say about devotion and what to say about devotion to the Guru. There is no Guru, there is no devotion, there is no love. All that sacredness is gone. That's why people are lost in million different things. But there's nothing sacred anymore. Today I will show, we will show a movie about the 16th Kamapa. And then you will see, many of you will recognize this devotion, what they have in India and Tibet, which is totally natural for them. As you saw also when I took you to Ladakh, the families there was very, very grateful because they had an enlightened being in their house. It's the greatest blessing they could have. But this culture, this understanding is not in the West. And this 16th Kamapa, he didn't hardly teach anything. It was all about the devotion, the understanding of the disciple. If something happens, if you are open, when you are in contact with an awakened being. But if people only lives in words and in ego, they cannot understand this. It's a hidden. It's there, but it's hidden from the mind. It has to come from your heart, from your soul. And I wanted to show you also, because I met this 16th Kamapa. In some mysterious way. One to one. But then again, I have an old, long connection with them. This Kamapa, very early when Osho just had started in the early 70s, then some disciples of Osho went to Sikkim and visit Kamapa in his place. I have been there. And when they came to him, then he took the mala, the locket of picture of Osho, and he said, I know this guy. Who is this? Oh, this is my master. Rajneesh. Yeah, I know him. And he will be the greatest enlightened being in India. You're very fortunate that you are with him. He said the same to me. He was very happy because I was safe. Because we loved each other, of course. But it was very brief. Maybe 20 minutes I was with him. And then he said he knew Osho from before also. And they have statue of him, of Osho in Tibet, in hidden caves. And he said he will be the greatest new world teacher, bring a new teaching, not confined by the Buddhist, by the old. So these people, that is the good company. When I met him, then he totally forgot the man who had been waiting 4 years to see him. I just snuck in. I didn't sneak in, it just happened. In a way, I just got pulled in, I think, because it was a private audience. And this man, he's been waiting for 4 years, he said. And he was my friend. We used to practice martial arts in the Central Park in New York. And then this Karmapa was there. And then, okay, I come down, because the Tibetans have a very nice center in the village in New York City. And then we were waiting there, and as soon as you come in this brownstone building, you are in Tibet. You have maroon monks and incense and heavy smoke and all this. Very amazing. Almost like Harry Potter, you know, you go into different dimension. Then you are sitting there, and then they called him in. And then by some strange things, I just followed him in. And it was only the three of us, and then the caretaker of Karmapa. But it was we who connected. And I almost felt pity, this man, he didn't pay any attention there. But when he heard I was with Osho, and then Osho was already coming to America, then he was very interested. And it was the first time I realized that it was other enlightened beings. That was the first one I met. Afterwards, I met many. So that was a blessing to meet him at that time. Adieu.
Charanum pa sumana shana.
It would be nice just to be silent, but people here, they don't understand silence. They don't understand themselves, they don't understand love, they definitely don't understand devotion. And for many, it is a hard work to get you back to your heart. Even though that's what everybody is longing for, in some strange way, we are also resisting it. Another enlightened master said, without devotion, all you are in this life is the beast of burden. Just like you have four legs and horns on your head, you will go on through life breaking your back, beaten with sticks, working in the fields, endure hot and cold, and work yourself to death. Friends, take interest in the subject of devotion now. Take interest in the subject of devotion now, because it is in front of you, it is alive. That's what satsang is. It doesn't come by you so easily. Take interest now. You only reap what you sow. Without devotion, life is wasted, chasing illusions. And that we are good at. Master Swaha, it has taken a long time for me to get the courage to write to you. I'm finally letting the courageous heart lead the way. Fear has been holding me back, and usually with the life I have lived, it has been easy to face my fears and sail into the unknown. I guess the trust I always had was with my ego, my boat and compass and charts and GPS. Letting go into the unknown always with a desired destination. Now, the letting go is much greater. Destination unknown. I have always had the feeling inside of running away. I get a nervous feeling or a mixed feeling in my chest always before satsang. Over the years, you have stirred up so many emotions inside me. Love, joy, sadness, fear. And every satsang, it feels like I'm sailing into the unknown. Maybe a fierce storm or maybe calm waters. I have looked deeply inside and feel that you are sending a kung fu kick to the ego before it could take it. I could run. Now I'm here ready to take the last blow before I die. These last satsangs have been so playful and full of love. They have really opened my heart and awakened my being. Last winter, I received a message from you. Tell Chris he is free. I was sitting in front of the boat and it hit me so hard. I sat and watched the clouds passing by and cried in my own prison that I had built around me. I have always wanted to thank you for this personal message. It really shook me up and helped me to wake up. I don't have many questions. As for usually the hundreds of mental letters that I have written to you are answered by listening in satsang. Thank you for the eyes to see, the ears to listen, the body to touch and the heart to be open and push away the mind. I deeply love you, Babaji, and know with an open heart, I can really share it. Thank you for taking me back to my true nature. Love, Chris. My God, you're so slow, Chris. That is the male ego. But luckily, you didn't manage to escape this time. And then, when you fall in the honey pot, then you realize it's sweet. My God. That's what I said. This is what I have to deal with day in, day out. My God. I was just talking about my master, Lord Shiva, and 16th Kamapa. And this is the situation. But that was yesterday, maybe. It has taken a long time for me to get the courage to write to you. I'm finally letting the courageous heart lead the way. Yes, first you have to ignite the courageous heart before anything can happen, no? Because the mind never knows what to write. I know many times I see all the questions, bee, 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 just like this in the cartoons. But there's so much mind and so much confusion there that you don't know how to write that to Babaji. Only when you come more back and you become more present, in tune with yourself, then you can write something that makes some sense. Fear has been holding me back. And usually with the life I have lived, it has been easy to face my fears and sail into the unknown. I guess the trust I always had was with my ego, my boat, compass, charts, and GPS. Letting go into the unknown always with the desired destination. Yes. Destination unknown. I know you are the crew, the deck boy. Are you ready? You have to start scrubbing the floors, taking the paint. No, the letting go is much greater. Destination unknown. I have always had the feeling inside of running away. Yes, we all run away. And it's a miracle that some of us manage to stop. Always is always a running away from something. And nobody knows where, what had happened. Nobody stopped to look. And we don't know where we are running. I get a nervous feeling or a mixed feeling in my chest always before satsang. That is good. Then you are not totally made of stone, at least. Because fear, uncertainty, love, happiness, sadness is all mixed in the beginning. Because everything is there, has just been kept a lock on. So it all has to come up. Over the years, you have stirred up so many emotions inside me. Love, joy, sadness, fear. And every satsang, it feels like I'm sailing into the unknown. Maybe a fierce storm, or maybe calm waters. Yes, that's the excitement. And here, you cannot check the weather forecast either. It's impossible. Ordinary, in the life you are used to, you can do some checking this, checking that, preparing for the future. No, no. I have looked deeply inside and feel that you are sending a kung fu kick to the ego. Before it could take it, I could run. No, I'm here ready to take the last blow before I die. You will need 100 kicks. Just prepare yourself. You will get bruised. Be happy. I'm finished to beat up people in a physical way. You are good enough to beat yourself up. That's the one thing I never need to get involved with, because you are so good to beat yourself up. Pam, pam.
Oh, oh, oh.
My God. I'm just trying the other way. These last satsang have been so playful and full of love. They have really opened my heart and awakened my being. Yes. That's what satsang does. But you have to be here. That's the thing. Otherwise, you can think and judge and run away or whatever. But the danger is when you come, if you have a heart, slowly, slowly, it will start waking up. There's no doubt about that. And the mind is so strong. Even when people come here sometimes, then, oh, they want to come close. And they want to have sannyas. Oh no, then they don't want to have sannyas. Then they know I have to have that, and I want this. I want to come close. No, I want to run away. And it's ongoing process. It's not easy because the mind has been running like wild horses for so long. And here, it's easy. But the challenge will be when you are out there again. That's why they all say you have to be steady. Last winter, I received a message from you, tell Chris he's free. Well, you have been going there, doing your sailing in the ego ocean. And your girlfriend, she's been here sailing on bliss. And you thought she was crazy and she thinks you are crazy. And at last, you see what is happening. And she has been much better because she has been cruising with you, but you never been cruising with her here. And just, I have to take care of Manisha. Then I tell her that maybe this stubborn guy, I try any way I can to wake people up when I have the opportunity. So what I told her is like, why is he wasting his time? What is he doing? Why always these excuses? And everybody has. He doesn't know that he's free, I said, and nobody knows. Nobody knows that they are free. What are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? And I was sitting in front of the boat and it hit me so hard. I sat and watched the clouds passing by and cried in my own prison that I had built around me. Yes. That is all your money, security, ambition, dreams, image, ego. That's the whole thing. And then the shock. You need a shock to see this is just a prison. And that's how we lock ourselves in, that you cannot do what you really want. And in a way you are excused, but because you don't really know what you really want. That's the art that the master has to, some way, get a little opening to get a teaspoon in there or something that, it's some other taste in this world. And that came with this, that you are free, a reminder from the master. What are you doing? But you have a physical heart. Everybody knows the physical heart is just beating and keeping you alive. But the spiritual heart is totally asleep. And only when that starts waking up, then you will feel and sense and understand what I'm talking about. It is a longing. If you don't have that longing that can only come from your soul, your heart, then there's no way. The world has so many things you have to do. You will never come to that depth in your own being where you are in touch with that longing. And when that starts igniting, then everything will change. That will bring up new challenges. The more you are ignited, the more you don't care. You have found something that is better. I have always wanted to thank you for this personal message. It really shook me up and helped me to wake up. I don't have many questions, as is usually the hundreds of mental letters that I have written to you are answered by listening in satsang. Yes. Everything gets answered in satsang. Thank you for the eyes to see, the ears to listen. Thank you that you start getting eyes to see and ears to listen. That's what Jesus said. If you have eyes, see. If you have ears, listen. And if you listen to a man like Jesus, definitely we have a different impact, what he's saying. Thank you. And the heart to be open and push away the mind. The mind is just a false thing. But because we are so identified with the mind, with the ego, with the false, you don't listen to the real. But when the heart starts awakening, which is real, then first, of course, it will, is it the heart, is it the mind? What do I feel, or do I really want, or this and that, blah, 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 blah. But if you are steady, then one day the heart will take over. It depends where you put your attention. Then it will be no doubt, because the heart is real, is in touch with the real. And then the mind will be far blabbering. It will still be there, but it will be like a blabbering on the moon. Who the fuck cares? Who is hanging out there on the moon? I'm here. That's how it is. But in the beginning, it's only blah, 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 blah. And to sort that out is very difficult alone. Almost impossible. I deeply love you, Babaji, and now with an open heart, I can really share it. Yes, without the heart, you cannot share from the heart, so that's true. Thank you for taking me back to my true nature. Remember, Chris, this is just the beginning. No, the real adventure. I don't know what these guys say, so many times they are so stubborn. The women, they are more soft, pliable, no? They some women also very stubborn, that's true. And some, especially also in the West, they have become more like men because they have to survive, they have to be strong. So they lose their femininity. They become also more like men, but not like real man, just like hard and like, oh, I'm gonna make it and pa 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 pa. like soldiers. So some of those are very hard also because they have this idea they have to be so strong. Become soft. For a disciple, in satsang, for a seeker, you have to be soft, man or woman. You have to be sensitive. You have to be open. You have to be vulnerable. You have to feel. You have to go deeper. And it's much better to get involved when you don't know. Like Hanuman said, when I don't know who I am, I serve you. And when I do know who I am, I'm you. Because then you are safe. You are involved in something that is bigger than you. But it has to be from that place of heart. I remind you all the time, just be steady in that. Many times people, they write and say, oh, I'm going through so much hardship. Mudini also did. Then what should I do? Should I just look at it myself? So much is happening in my process. Many people write this. Then it comes up, you want to escape, you want to just drop out. That what happens then? Then more time to your old mind, much more difficulty. Or should I just go into the work, go on? Not listening to the mind. Of course, go into the work, forget yourself. Be total, this is the time. And as soon as you put that energy into something, then everything goes. You are not stuck in your private things, in your personal things. This is the secret. Just like Sanat said, Hanuman knows the secret. Look at him. He can carry mountains. Yahoo! But you have to be steady. That is devotion. It's this for your own truth, for your own heart. Then, like she said, I can forget about God, but I cannot forget about my Master, because He saved me.
Namo 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 namo. I Anjaninan Siaram Jay Hanuman Jay Siaram Jay Hanuman Jay Siaram Jay Hanuman Jay Siaram Jay Bajranga Bali Baba Hanuman Yeah Bajranga Bali Jai Hanuman Sankatam Ochan Rupanita Sankatam Ochan Rupanita Jai Siyaram Bajranga Bali Jai Hanuman Jai Bajranga Bali Jai Jai Hanuman Sankata Mochan Kripanidha Sankata Mochan sai Rupakarahu Gurudev Kinai Sankatamochan Rupanidhan Lala Langote
Yeah. Satguru.